All right, should we do this reading series?
Yeah,
let's do it.
So,
thank you for tolerating my complaint.
Hey, there's nothing we talk about more than the fucking haters and how we're sick of them.
Yeah,
annoying. Like, if we ever got any negative press or criticism at all, we'll drop you a line.
Yeah.
We'll have something to say about that.
Well, I just like to cap it. Like, I feel like we're over here doing our own little thing. Like, we're not bothering anybody. Can you just let us have our little fun and like just for them to come out and just is tedious and how dare they? It's like, you can pick on like the big boys a little bit, but we're just, you know, just don't review it.
Stop doing nightclub shootings and we'll talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tim, this is an article that came out. This is an op-ed in the New York Times from like a week or so ago, and you know, got a lot of burn on the internet when it came out. This is David Brooks is one of our friend of the show, one of our
From Brooks Brothers.
Yeah.
The Brooks Brothers.
He is one of our boys.
Yeah. He's one of our boys. He's one of the Brooks Brothers.
Albert Brooks's brother.
Yeah.
So he wrote an opinion column for the Times called Why Trump Voters Stick With Him.
Okay.
An imagined conversation with Flyover Man.
Right.
Okay.
Bad start.
Yeah. So the entire thing is a dialogue that he is...
Sort of a Socratic dialogue, if you will.
Right.
He has imagined a dialogue of between a character called Urban Guy... and a character called Flyover Man that are sort of stand-ins for, you know, urban guys, the sort of blue state, someone who follows the news, is very concerned about our democracy and Donald Trump.
Right.
And Flyover Man is the Trump voter who is going to explain to this person, you know, why these people stick with Donald Trump despite all of his numerous,
crimes.
Crimes. And,
how much time would it have taken for him to like just come up with names for these two people? Regular names.
That would confuse the audience. Yeah. They would forget which one was which.
Okay.
So it's just Flyover Man, and I realize
I love what you tweeted though. The Flyover Man, Flyover Man, man loves Urban Man.
I realize that's basically like 21st century politics.
Yeah.
Flyover Man hates Urban Man.
Yeah.
They have a fight. Flyover wins. That's where we are.
Meanwhile, both of them are right now standing in line together at Starbucks at some airport in O'Hare or something like that.
No, everyone has the same experience.
Yeah, exactly.
The American experience is pretty fucking uniform.
God. There's this fucking lines at these airport fancy fooderies is blowing my mind this week.
Were you at O'Hare this week?
No, I was in Vancouver and then in Newark. And there was a line at the Newark airport that had to have been, you know, like a city block to go to some shitty food place.
Was the place you saw in O'Hare? It was like Burger Citizen or something?
Burger Citizen.
Yeah, Burger Citizen.
And you know what they have at Newark now are literal porta potties in the terminal. Like they're like, it's called like extra bathrooms or something, but they're like in a box that are just out in the open. Like,
Tim, I'm pretty sure those are the breastfeeding.
Yeah, those are breastfeeding.
No, 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 no. I know what you're talking about. No,
you should be doing that there, dude.
These are new.
All right, so I was looking for this one. Tim, you could help embody the character of a Flyover Man.
Flyover Man.
And you can hear. I've pulled up my phone. I will play the part of a Urban Guy.
Okay, this is a cold read.
That's gonna be tough for you.
It's a big stretch for me, the Urban Guy character. So let's begin here with Urban Guy begins this dialogue by saying.
So we're talking to each other?
Yeah, we're talking to each other.
What's the context? Like, we're just in line at Starbucks at O'Hare Airport?
We're at the Newark Airport. Okay. We're waiting online to go into the breastfeeding pod to jack each other off
come
together as Americans.
I like to think they're both in the afterlife awaiting eternal judgment.
So yeah, this is David Brooks' imagined dialogue between what he imagines is his reader in the New York Times, the urban person.
Urban guy.
And the people that they don't get or disdain or like what this is, he's filling them in on what they need to know about, you know, the people who are sticking by Trump.
About fire from
right.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm just beginning here. I hope
you got to get like.
I hope you read the rough transcript of that Trump phone call with the Ukrainian president. Trump clearly used public power to ask a foreign leader to dig up dirt on his political opponent.
I'm sorry. Am I literally talking to Chris Hayes? Or is this just a...
Urban Guy was the other name for All In with Chris Hayes.
I'm going to use my actual voice because I am an actual cosmopolitan urban.
Yeah, there you go.
Says. So Trump clearly...
And you're not an actor, so even better.
Boom.
Trump clearly used public power to ask a foreign leader to dig up dirt on his political opponent. this is impeachable. I don't see how you can deny the facts in front of your face.
I haven't really had time to look into it. There's always some fight between Trump and the East Coast media. I guess I just try to stay focused on the big picture. Big picture is this. We knew this guy was a snake when we signed up, but he was the only one who saw us. He was the only one who saw that the America we love is being transformed in front of our eyes. Good jobs for hardworking people were gone. Our community's in tatters. Our kids in trouble. I had one shot at change, so I made a deal with the devil, and you'd have made it too. Nothing in this impeachment mess makes me rethink this bargain. If people like you are unable to acknowledge my dignity and see my problems, hey, I'll stay with Trump.
I like the opening gambit of the Flyover Man's dialogue here is that I just want to be seen.
Acknowledge me.
I need to feel seen.
To be validated.
Nobody wants to be seen. Nobody cares.
Representation is very important.
So the big picture is the U.S. Constitution. It's no man is above the law. We can't live in a country in which our leaders flagrantly commit high crimes and nothing happens.
Are you going to order some? I get it, all right? He said some stupid crap on a phone call. But are you going to undo my vote for that? I wouldn't even rank this among the top 25 worst things he's done, and I'm a supporter of his. Listen.
People don't think that.
Do you remember those months just...
They don't think they're bad things.
Hey, do you remember those months just after the election when people like you were briefly curious about people like me? You sent your reporters out on wild safaris into the hinterlands to interview Trump voters. You read Hillbilly Elegy back when it was fashionable to say Trump is just a symptom of a real problem in America. He's the wrong answer to the right question. It didn't take you long to lose interest in all that. Now we're just a block of concrete you call his base. Now all you care about is Trump. Not his supporters or the issues driving us. Your whole media is Trump-o-centric.
Trump-o-centric is one of the best things you can get.
In Brooks's
TV.
Mind, what we need to do is go back to reading Hillbilly Elegy and pretending to give a shit about America. Right. We need more of the bullshit safaris.
Condescension, which was also bad, but in a different way, I guess.
But you know, like he is right though that the average David Brooks reader did go through a phase where they all read and loved that shitty book Hillbilly Elegy and thought they understood it.
Right. Yeah.
But clearly that wasn't good enough. So you say the whole media is Trump-o-centric. Well, we became Trump-o-centric because his daily outrages undermine norms, spread xenophobia, degrade public morality.
You think that because you have the kind of jobs that allow you to follow Twitter all day.
Ooh.
Good point. I don't have that luxury. So all that passing nonsense seems far away. I have to deal with the actual realities of life. One, mass immigration is changing my town, region, and state. Normal thing to say. Not only my town, but my region and state.
Think of the region. If you don't care for the city, please think of the region.
You know where the town limit is? We're talking beyond that. I'm talking the region.
Greater metropolitan area.
Two, the cultural liberalism you preach but don't practice is leading to the breakdown of families up and down my block, to the left and to the right. Children out of wedlock, young men with no dad when they're young and no wife in their life when they're grown. Young men with no dad when they're young and no wife in their life when they're grown. Young man with no dad when they're young. No wife in their life when they're grown. Third, an Ivy League elite running government and the economy for itself and shutting out those of us who actually make things with our hands.
He does not make anything with his hand. No. I care fuck it to you.
Fourth, China is replacing us.
What I love about that section is when he said point number two. He says, the cultural liberalism you preach but don't practice is leading to the breakdown of families up and down my block. That line about how liberals practice but don't preach family values is something that, like, you know, the Heritage Foundation has been, it's a line they've been trying to sell for, like, I don't know, 10, 20 years now. And just so happens that the Trump voters David Brooks talked to, like, also said that exact phrase. What I've always wondered about that is, what does that actually imply? Because what they mean is that, like, liberal blue state family models, like there's a lower rate of divorce, and like they tend to, you know, like delay marriage and like delay marriage and child rearing till later in life.
Right.
But you know, they don't preach it because they have social liberalism that like leads to family breakdown. So practicing what you preach in this conception for like liberal blue state people would be
doing
orgies.
Yeah.
Having kids.
Having underage, out of wedlock children, leaving your kids.
Being Jeffrey Epstein.
Doing all that shit. Well, that's the thing is that he's like, how does that work? We don't practice this stuff, but we preach it to you, what, to undermine your family for some weird ritual occult reason? Well, or when you're poor, it's harder to adhere to bourgeois values because they're the values of the bourgeois, because one of the things about the bourgeois is they have fucking money.
Right.
So they emanate from that stability. If you don't have that stability, by definition, you can't fucking uphold bourgeois values. It has nothing to do with brainwashing from the fucking urban elites.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe this isn't the same point, but which would be good if it wasn't, because that would be redundant to make the same point. But I think about like Los Feliz in Cali, where I don't live there. I used to live in Los Feliz, like the most liberal, elite-y kind of. It's not rich at all. It's not like a Beverly Hills or anything, but it's sort of just like there's a diverse, fairly diverse, but mostly, you know, liberal little part of Los Angeles. And it's super high functioning in terms of just like a nice place to live where everything seems to work and you know, there's not a lot of crime, the people are very friendly to each other. It's very functional. Like you'd want to live, like anybody from Flyover Man would feel very comfortable living there. But it's full of gay people that are raising kids and full of, you know, alternative lifestyle type people. But it just feels like you could look at that community there and say, well, that's working pretty well. But it is, they do have money. They have more money than.
Yeah, that's what makes it, that's what makes social cohesion possible.
Right. Yeah.
It's people not being stability. On the knife's edge, having stability. Right. Exactly.
No, but I just like, I like the idea that there's some hidden hypocrisy here.
Yeah.
So my retort to you about China, okay, China is replacing us. And my retort here is I'm happy to talk about these big problems.
Yeah, like hell you are. The media fixates on scandals because they're easier to talk about than complex issues like why urban and rural America are drifting further apart. You wasted billions of hours speculating about the Mueller report, and now news about Adam Schiff overshadows everything else while my world burns. Let's face it, bashing Trump is the media's business model. That's what drives eyeballs and profit.
Does Urban Guy work in the media? This is like yelling at the TV.
Right.
Well, also, Flyover Man began this by saying, or like one of his second comebacks was like, look, I don't have one of these jobs that allows me to check Twitter all day.
Right.
I do have one of the jobs that allows me to watch television all day and know about Adam Schiff and the Mueller report actually give a kind of astute media analysis about the economic incentives driving the news model. And
And also what's so fraudulent about this is in a time when you have so many options for how you receive information and consume, like, if you just were a person that put on CNN every night, it would seem super hyper focused on a very narrow issue, which it is every night. It's those dopes, Cuomo and Don Lemon, who are like insufferable fools, like talking about the micro, you know, the micro scandals. You know, there's room for that for sure. But this guy, if he's interested in all, you know, there's so many different ways to learn about what's going on.
The only way to make a way that I think would really help people make sense of a lot of this stuff and avoid a lot of the confusion that's in this piece is if people who watched a lot of TV, a lot of cable news at home, like not people who watched it at an airport or, you know, waiting at the doctor's office, people who sat down and watched it, they should be treated like a weird subculture, like furries or something.
Right.
Like they're weirdos,
and they're not. There's not a lot of them, right?
No, there's not that many.
The ratings. That's like those programs
out of a country of 300 some million people. Views. Like the best one's Fox, and you're still topping out like in the 1 or 2 million viewers for one of these shows. No, you combine the rest of them, it's not that much more than that.
Right.
It's a bunch. It's a small group of freaks,
right?
And like the idea that in discourse is in any way reflective of any greater trends is crazy.
Brooks is in that small group.
He is, of course.
So
yes,
that's how he's reacting.
He's in those fucking green rooms, just eating like the little Bischoff fucking cookies you get in the airport, airplane all day.
Yeah, they have chips in there too.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Urban Guy's reply here: we can't have a productive conversation with Trump around. He lies with abandon. He slanders and insults. He pollutes water near. He pollutes the water near and far.
He's the bad guy from Captain Planet. He's that Fern Gully smog monster.
Well, we can't have productive conversations if every time I open my mouth, you call me a bigot. You may not realize this, but you have Trump supporters around you all the time. It's just that we've learned to keep our mouths shut in your presence. The crushing climate of blue cultural privilege is too strangulating. It's too strangulating.
I
jack off while being strangulated by blue cultural privilege.
That's that hypocrisy we're talking about. Yeah. Practice, but don't preach it. Yeah, again, like the idea here. First of all, Urban Guy is not called Flyover Man a bigot yet, but he's going with that. And he's saying, like, you know, you have Trump supporters around you all the time. We've just learned to, like, you know, be quiet. It's has an eerie echo with, like, they're trying to make being a Trump voter like what being gay was like in the 1950s
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, like if you're among your boys and you're doing jokes about, you know, like you never know. One of them might just be a Trump voter.
Yeah. I read it a slightly different way. I think it's a veiled threat to say, you know, walking among you, even in your liberal enclaves. Are Trump supporters. You never know, one day we're all going to put on the MAGA hat at once and stab you.
Sweet relief.
Okay, I get it. You're not the first person to spin the right-wing victim narrative in front of me. My freaking wife does that all the time. Okay, you're not the first person to spin the right-wing victim narrative in front of me. Why don't we focus on impeachment, on rule of law?
Fine. Bottom line. I would be open to impeachment if you cared about my problems. I'd be open if all these silent Republican dissenters in the Senate had given me some GOP alternative candidate who speaks our language and addresses our issues. I'd be open if there was a moderate Democratic Party that I thought deserved a shot. But I only see Democrats who make everything worse. Open the border, socialism, more power to Washington. You could have paid attention to the forces driving Trumpism, but you ignored us. So please. Don't ask us to sign up for our own obliteration or support your impeachment. This is about identity and pride. Here's a confession. I used to think Trump was a jerk. Now, after 3 years of battle, I see him as my captain. He deserves my loyalty, thick and thin. See you in hell, brother. Wow. I did not see that turn.
Yeah, no. Is that when he detonates his suicide vest?
Yeah.
No, it's like right after that, it should have been like, flyover man, your mocha latte and bagel sandwich are ready? Anyone?
Yeah, your Cinnabon is all hot for you. Boy, what a dark turn. It feels like he just got kind of ran out of steam on that one, right? Like, I got to wrap this up. This was fun, but I was almost getting somewhere.
He gets all bitter, and he's like, well, you were out partying. I was making America great again. Yeah. And now, when the flames are at your door, you come begging for my help.
We figured this out in the many, many times we've read David Brooks on this show. Like, we figured it out by this point. Like, the way to understand every David Brooks column is that they're all about himself.
Yes.
Right.
They're like so Flyover Man and Urban Guy are both David Brooks. This is like these are forces inside himself that he's giving
Smeagol and Gollum.
Right. Yeah. When I watch him almost every week on the PBS NewsHour with him and the other guy, Brooks and
Mark Shields.
Mark Shields. Yeah. And I like watching those two guys. But he does seem totally painfully conflicted about his own perspective on the world.
Yeah.
He feels shame, and like his columns are a way of coping with that shame and sort of displacing it onto like, I guess, the urban half of him or the condescending part of himself. But the thing is, like, what's disingenuous about this is that he says it like, this is based on, you know, interactions that I've had with Trump supporters in like Missouri. And it's like, no, it's not. This is just interactions you've had with your friends who also support Donald Trump.
The beauty of being a New York Times opinion guy is that you never have to talk to any other person your entire life.
Right.
And still have opinions about what they think. It's great.
Sure. Yeah. He's not talking to anybody at the car dealership.
Or at the, as he one time said, Applebee's salad bar, a thing that does not exist.
Nice.
No, he said that during the Obama campaign. He said, I don't think Obama would be someone comfortable at an Applebee's salad bar.
Well, apparently you wouldn't be either.
Yeah, you'd be wandering around asking them for it. And they'd be like, it's out back, weirdo.
But like the tells that this isn't has nothing to do with like the actual, you know, the people who show up and, you know, stand in 90 degree heat for hours to wear the hat and just see Donald Trump. Like the article we did about the bikers for Trump,
yeah,
the people who just follow him around like the Grateful Dead, like a woman who drove from Connecticut yeah. to see him in St. Louis because she's like, where else am I going to get the real news from? Right. I have to hear it directly right. from the president.
Yeah.
The tells are, like Matt, you identified this early along, where he's just like, the Ukraine call, that's not even the top 25 most awful things he's ever done. And it's like that list, like they all think those things are good.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't think he's ever done anything wrong because, look, it makes the people they don't like mad. By definition, it was good.
Up to and including like all of his like ludicrous infidelities. Yeah. And, like open.
That's cool. Yeah, that's like, boss. That's baller. He's a pimp.
In the same way that I would love to see my own work from the perspective of that woman who hated the movie so badly, just to experience that, yeah. I would like to feel that for Trump, to feel that yeah. feeling of being like, hey, man, you know, and nobody's perfect, but he's my guy, you know, and I think he's kind of cool. You know, like, imagine having that feeling about what you see there.
He's low-key nutty with it.
No, you're right. I would like to, like a sort of a Being John Malkovich thing where I could yeah. experience yeah. for like a day.
Right.
They'll create these like empathy pills and you yeah. can like go, I'll take Trump supporter and just pop.
Speaking of pills, what do you make of that story about the Sudafed? Did you guys see that?
Oh, I
did
yeah, see that. Yeah.
The UK Sudafed in his pocket.
It would
drawer.
Explain a lot. But like what I love about that story is that like if it's true, it's so perfectly Trump because that is the lamest upper
right.
addicted
it's,
to.
Exactly. Like, and once know? Again, it's like right. he's president of the United States, most powerful man in the world, and he's doing incredibly hilariously low-key piddling crimes right, all over right. the world. Like, hey, you guys want to stay in my hotel in fucking Zagreb?
Yeah.
So I could like
free rooms.
Make another $1,500. same way. It's like this guy, he's certainly rich and connected enough. He could get any drug, you know,
sure.
get the finest Bolivian flake cocaine. Yeah. He could get fucking like Chinese research chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'll take the Sudafed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just pop Sudafed while drinking Diet Coke.
Yeah, no, I have a guy who gets it for me. Believe me, he's one of the greats.
He gets like the hookup. His yeah. plug shows up with a fucking Dwayne Reed bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah.
His plug shows up with yeah. one of those fucking receipts that are like yeah. like the original On the Road manuscript. Just
can
like,
you go, Mr. Trump, your receipts here. What are you doing with the receipt? Get out of here. Burn the receipt.
Put it through the shredder.
Yeah. Mix it up. Go to CVS next time.
Guys. No, I mean, like, it is perfect because like he was the guy who was at like the height of, you know, New York City
oh, yeah.
wealth in like the 1980s.
In the 80s, baby.
And instead of that like, you know, rainbow fish scale, he was just like, more cough medicine. I need it.
Right.
It keeps me up. Keeps
well,
me up
always
to do deals.
The thing on him that like, you know, I think Robert De Niro said somewhere, some like at a party or maybe it was Jack Nicholson. I think I heard this, not in the press, like somebody that heard this from Jack Nicholson was like, in the 80s, Trump was like the guy that you kind of felt bad for because he was like so lame and like not cool, not a fun hang.
Oh no, pathetic.
He's kind of a clown. You're like, is he, look at who's here. You know, Ronald McDonald's.
No, he's
like,
the ultimate tryhard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was the kid who people hung out with because they had a pool.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And now he's got 100 million rabid fans who would love to hang out with him. Would
so does
love
Kiss.
To play beer pong with him. Yeah.
No, but like, yeah, don't talk to me about Ukraine. Don't talk to me about Sudafed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to hear it. He's our guy. He's right. he said he's my captain.
He's my captain.
He's captain of the team.
Hey.
You know?
Go down with the ship.
There you go. All right. Well, Tim Heidecker, I want to thank you so much for talking to us. The
thanks for having me on,
is,
boys.
Mr. America. When's that dropping?
Well, when does this come out?
Probably this midweek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it came out everywhere last night, but it'll be on demand and on. It'll be playing in New York and L.A. for a little bit, and we'll see. It'll be on. You can rent it on TV, as they do now.
I get the TiVo.
Yeah.
The only way to watch it.
Yeah.
I can stop and I can go get a drink. Come back. It's still there.
But it's
and
not a TV
when,
movie.
It's boring.
So
I go bleep bleep bleep.
Yeah.
And yeah, so check out Mr. America and experience its, you know, dreary.
If you can see it in the theater,
charms. Yeah,
see it in the theater. Please
resist the urge that you will get to either shoot up a nightclub
right.
or scam a bunch of Instagrammers with a fake music festival. Either, just don't do either of those things. You're going to want to after you see the
movie. We should not be mocking those situations.
No, absolutely not.
Not funny.
Tim Heidecker, thanks again for hanging out with us.